Judges ready? Judges, score. Let's get ready for today's episode of the ATA Nation podcast.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, sirs and ma'ams, instructors, students, parents of Songnam Taekwondo, welcome to the ATA Nation podcast. My name is Master Zach Hayden, and I am your host on this, the 26th episode of the ATA Nation podcast. I just finished an amazing interview with two six-degree black belts from South Africa, and that's going to be on our next episode of the podcast, along with the continuation of our Tournament 101 series. But I wanted to give a shout-out to all our international listeners. If you are an international listener to the podcast, please send me a message. Just text me where you're from at 260-250-3975. Or obviously, if you're international and you can't make that text because, you know, you're not going to text somebody in the United States, just head over to Instagram, find ATA Nation podcast on Instagram and shoot me a message. We would love to hear from our international ATA Nation members. Now, we had a great response to last week's first in our series of Tournament 101. We're going through tournaments. We want to talk about them, help people understand them. We want this to be a series that you can share with somebody who's getting ready to do their first tournament and really help them along the way. Last week, we got input from you out there in ATA Nation on why to do a tournament. I got one more that I wanted to share with you from Lily Herman, and she said five tips for people who are going to their first tournament. So I thought this was really good. I wanted to share it with you today. One, allow your fellow Taekwondo families to help you out and cheer you on. That's a great tip. Make sure you stretch. Make a friend in your ring. Be there early. That's a great one. Don't come less than an hour before your ring and try your best and be proud of yourself no matter the outcome. Great pieces of advice there. I love those five tips. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right to our main discussion on tournaments today. And I wanted to make sure we hit scoring, okay? So we want to talk scoring in general for forms, weapons, extreme, creative, all the things that aren't sparring based. And obviously, as we talked about last week, there's a small difference between being in a champion ring or being in a recreational ring. But we're going to go with generalities today. Again, always talk to your instructor about these as well. But some great tips. Number one, we have three judges in the ring, and each judge, especially for traditional events, are assigned to look at slightly different things. So in forms, one of your judges is the kicking judge and the stance judge. The other judge on the other side is the hands and the blocks and strikes judge, and then the center judge is the overall judge. It's important to know that because we want to kind of see what those scores are depending on what they're paying attention to. In weapons, they're looking for slightly different things as well. Creative and extreme, it's a more general, everybody's kind of looking close to the same thing. Forms and weapons is where it can be different, especially forms is going to be where it's the most different to see what the different judges are judging. So know that. Now, our judging system goes anywhere between a 0 and a 9. And what's important to remember is that these scores are given based on the people in the ring. So a 9 would mean that this is the very best form in the ring that day, not that it's the perfect form. Okay, so I use this kind of jokingly with my students, and I'll say that you could get a 9 at a tournament and have a form that might not even pass your testing, but it got a 9 because it was the best in the ring and everybody else's form was just way worse than yours. So don't compare. A 9 means that you didn't mess anything up. A 9 means it was the best in the ring that day. Now, that's not always given. A 9 isn't always given out. I often will talk to my students and say, you know, a 5 is an average. That's right there in the middle. So typically, you will see some scores under 5 and you will see some scores above 5. Now, that's not always the case. Let me give you an example. Let's say a corner judge gives one student a 5. And the center gives the student a 8 and the other corner gives them a 8. Okay. So a 5-8-8. Next student comes up, does their form. They get a 4-7-8. And the next student comes up and they do, they get a 7-9-9. Okay. Now, oftentimes what we hear is that the one judge is just, you know, mean and giving all these low scores. But what the judge is doing is staying consistent. They are giving the same consistency of scores, even though they might be a little bit lower. So it's very – and so in that case, a lot of times people will go, oh, look, this judge doesn't know what they're doing, even though – they gave the same level of scores, the same consistency of scores to all the different people as the other judges. They were just one or two or three numbers lower, but they were consistent. Okay. So I always caution people to be very careful about just looking at the numbers that you get at a tournament when you're doing your form, your weapons, your creative, your extreme. What you really want to do is compare how your numbers, how your score was to the other people in your ring that day. That's going to give you the best insight on how your performance was that day. And don't, you could get 6-6-6 as your score one tournament and next tournament get 8-9-8. And that doesn't mean anything about the judges. That doesn't mean anything about your competition. If 6-6-6 was in the same general range, like let's say you were second place with the 6-6-6, and in the other ring the next weekend at another tournament, you got 8-9-9 and you were second place in that ring. Then the number doesn't matter. You were second place no matter what. Okay. We don't compare the numbers. We look at how that is relative to the other people in the ring. That's an important thing to remember, when we're looking at, scoring. Okay. Now, scores can be affected as well by things like leaving out a segment of your form. That's something your center judge will take points off for. The corner judges, if it's your first time going up and doing your form, will judge only what you do. So let's say you leave out 5 moves. A corner judge could still give you a very high score because they're just judging what you did. Now, the center judge has the responsibility of taking your score down in that situation. Now, that's for a champion division. Recreational division is a little different, but you get the idea. Okay. So when it comes to this idea of scoring, we want to really make sure that we're looking at, kind of how my score places with the other people in the ring. And is that consistent in tournament after tournament after tournament? Try not to come home. When a student comes to me after a tournament and goes, oh man, I got, 4-5-6 at the tournament this weekend. I'll often be like, okay, you know, I mean, that doesn't really tell me anything. What was the highest score given in the ring? 7. Okay, well then 4, 5, 6 is a pretty good score if 7 was the highest anyone gave. Now they come and say you got a 4, 5, 6 and everybody else in the ring or most of the other people got 7, 8s, and 9s, then I'm going to say, oh, we probably have some work to do on your form. You know, what happened with your form? Did you leave a segment out? How was your confidence? How was your technique? Did you rush too fast? We'll look at some other things. Okay, but just going and telling your instructor what your score was doesn't really give them the feedback they need to help you continue training. Okay, and it doesn't give you yourself the feedback you need. Look at the scores in the ring. Look at where you were relative to everyone else in the ring, and see what you think there. Okay, so that is the main idea of scoring for forms and weapons. Now, when it comes to extreme and creative, it's very similar. There are points that are deducted for things like dropping a weapon, and that's the case in any weapons competition, and then also for not picking the weapon up properly. So you want to make sure you pick the weapon up properly so you don't lose points as well. Important to make sure kind of we get this idea of scoring because it can be very confusing. Another thing that we want to remember is that when you're doing any of the forms competition, so creative, extreme, traditional forms, traditional weapons, because the judges need to get kind of a barometer, kind of a understanding of the skill level in this ring, they always have three competitors come up and do their material before they give out their scores. Because that kind of gets them an idea of what the average might look like in this ring. So the first three competitors come up, they do their forms or their weapons or whatnot. And then we bring those back up to give them a score. And we do that because it gives us an idea of what an average looks like. If our job is to compare everybody in the ring and the first person comes up and I give them a score right away, well, how can that score be fair if I don't know what the ring looks like? So we always bring up those first three individuals. That helps the judges understand kind of the quality, the average of the ring. Now, if there's never a tie in the scoring, you get to come up and you do your material a second time. In the case of a tie, all the judges will be judging overall forms at that point. So maybe like if it was traditional forms, they were supposed to judge kicks and stances originally. When you come up and have to do your form the second time, they're not just judging kicks and stances. They're judging overall form. So this might be why maybe you watch your child's ring, or maybe it's your ring, and a judge gave you a very high score for your form and you tied, and yet that judge ended up pointing to somebody for the tiebreaker that had a lower score from them originally. And the case might be that one, the other person had messed up the first time, and the second time they came through and did a better job. Or especially, the case can be that now that judge is not looking just at kicks. They're looking at overall form. And they might have had really great, you might have had really great kicks, but were lacking on your blocks and strikes. And so they ended up choosing the other person. And so just something to be aware of as we look at scoring when it comes to tournaments. If you have questions about scoring, I would love to hear them. We would love to address those questions in the next episode if you are have any that you would like answered. Send those questions over to us at 260-250-3975. Shoot us a text. We'd love to answer your questions about scoring. Is there something we didn't cover when it comes to scoring forms, sparring, or excuse me, forms, weapons, creative, extreme, all those kind of things? Let us know. Now, let's get to upcoming events.
Here's what's going on in ATA Nation.
Okay, ATA Nation, you know it's coming. It's Fall Nationals. We're super excited. If you haven't reserved a hotel room, you need to get on that right away. There's a big football game in town that weekend, and rooms are booking up super fast. So make sure you reserve your room for the ATA Fall Nationals in Little Rock, Arkansas. I know I've got my room already. It's going to be great. And the even since last week, I think some things were added to the schedule. But if you are able to train at Nationals, so you are a legacy student, you're an instructor, a lot of these are open to different people. There's a great amount of training opportunities at Nationals. So we've got the traditional Gumdo boot camp, which we mentioned last week. I'm going to that. You can see me there. The PPCT concealed and carry program is a 2-day event. That's, you got to be 21 or older. That's going to be awesome. Kind of wish I could go to that one. All legacy members level 1 and above are eligible to participate in the Yes I Can Teach Students with Special Abilities, a toolbox for strategies for strategies for instructors. So this is a brand new seminar that is getting put out. Senior Master Julie Moberly and Master Winters are both working together to produce some really great information on helping instructors be better at teaching our special needs individuals out there. Open to all legacy students, 16 and older, is the combat sparring curriculum. I took that at Worlds. It was a lot of fun. Black belt weapons, forms training. This is going over those black belt weapons, are, the 13-year-old black belts and up. So, black belts 13 and older are able to, go to that one. Got some great instructors in here. They've just listed Senior Master Dendi and Master Nominee Blanks. They're doing single and double songjiang. Senior Master Juan and Senior Master Nominee Barrett are doing single and double bangmangi. Senior Master Dendi, Senior Master Jongsu Ko, and Senior Master Boyer are doing mid and long range bow staff, Jongbong, and then obviously Chief Master Ramunde, Chief Master Whitehead, and Master Nominee Langren Lee are doing Gumdo level 1 and level 2. So awesome individuals out there doing that. Again, injury prevention seminar. This is open to all members, all ATA members 16 and older. So all of our athletes out there, this is a great seminar to sign up for. 2 hours, get a lot of amazing information from Mrs. Kaminsky, who does this for a living. Check that out. Awesome opportunity there. And, oh, ladies and gentlemen, do you have a team registered to compete at Nationals? I do. I'm excited about the team competition. So if you don't have a team registered yet, make sure you jump on that. Maybe you're interested in the team demo and team sync competitions. Those are available at Nationals too. It's going to be a packed weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. We will see you in Little Rock October 20th. Through the 23rd for an amazing weekend. And two master ceremonies, double the fun. It's going to be a great time. Okay, ATA Nation, it has been a blast to talk to you today. Next week, we're going to continue our Tournament 101 series, but we also have an interview with 6th-degree black belt Mr. Voster and 6th-degree black belt Mr. Verwe from South Africa. They are the highest ranks there in South Africa, working to be masters in Songam Taekwondo, inducted in 2022. So we have that interview for you next week. Until then, make sure you're out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Welcome to the secret part. If you haven't heard the secret part before, this is the part at the end of the outro that I just say hi, talk about some random things. I don't have anything. Oh, you know what? Guys, if you haven't gone out there, you as martial artists, if you haven't gone out there and seen Shang-Chi, I think I'm saying it pronouncing it right. The new Marvel movie. It's awesome. You gotta go see it, guys. You know what's so great about it is getting to see some old school, great hand to hand combat scenes in a Marvel movie. Marvel movies got, you know, a lot of times they got these really big, overblown fight scenes, which are fun. But as a martial artist, I want to see some of these great hand to hand combat and, they delivered in that movie. So you definitely go and check that out. Let me know what you think about it. Shoot me a text, the insiders. You know how to do it. Hopefully send that text over 260-250-3975. And we'll talk to you guys next week.